Amen. Hold someone's hand. Let's do this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, this morning we receive clarity and the insight that is found in Christ alone. There is no error or contradiction in this atmosphere. In precision, we receive the revelation of the truth of the scriptures presented to us as your Son, Jesus Christ. Together as a church, we behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified. We are edified. Amen. Mark's Gospel 16, we bring to a close our teaching, staying positive in a negative world. And if you have missed it out at some point, I'd counsel that you take advantage of the teaching the moment it's released to listen to it all over again. Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the eleven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And then he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned or condemned. Now, we said that at the root of sin is unbelief. Unbelief is a root of sin, where you don't believe the gospel. You don't believe the word. Now, if there's a place where sin, there are two places in the Old Testament where sin is explained and well explained, maybe mentioned or used as a reference. The first will be Genesis chapter 2 and 3, precisely Genesis 3. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul in verse 12 says, through one man sin entered into the world. Now, because of the way the book of Genesis was written, many people have assumed what exactly was the sin. In fact, some people went so ridiculous, they said the sin was sex. That's really horrible. How can the sin be sex? That's not possible. It couldn't have been sex, particularly sex with his wife. Because Genesis chapter 2 says, the two shall become one flesh. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6:18, 16 and 18, mentions that is a sexual union, and so that's not the sin. Some have said the sin is all sorts of things, but because of the way Genesis was written, you assume that, you know, because the issue of the fruit and the tree, and if you have been exposed to Jehovah's Witnesses yellow book, so you have witnessed yellow book, that almighty yellow book, where the picture of, is, I think they use apple. Imagine. And you are still eating apple. You're not afraid. You put apple in there, so you assume that maybe something was eaten as food, then it became sin. But in Romans 5, and Paul used different expressions of what happened. In Romans 5:12, because it's sin, amatia. In Romans 5:14, though 13 says sin was in the world, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Romans 5:14 says, over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So use the word transgression, which means to sidestep something. That is, if I ask you to go this way and you go that way, that is what it means to have transgression. Parabasis in the Greek. Then he calls it violate. That's parabasis, to violate something. If I ask you to do something and you refuse to do it. Now he also calls it paktoma, that is to step aside from what you are told. In other words, there's an action contrary to what you are told to do. Then once again he uses, I think he has amataya, paktoma, parabasis. There's one more I'm not remembering. I don't know why. Then verse 19, through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I want you to understand that. You don't become a sinner because you are born into this world. That is a horrible doctrine. People believe that as soon as you are born into this world, you are born as a sinner. They ask you scripture and verse. None. It's just a belief system. Scripture and verse, none. The only one people quote is Psalm 51. In iniquity was I conceived. Are you David? He didn't say iniquity where we conceived. So people don't have such scripture. They don't have such scripture that says, you know, and I grew up in our morning devotion, my father's opening prayer, the way he opens his prayer is so predictable that my sister knew it word for word the way he would sigh. In fact, she almost could say it the way he would say it with commas. So he just say, we're all born into this world. Anybody that is born in the womb of a woman is born a sinner. In Yoruba, I don't know how to say it in English the way he used to say it because it's not in the Bible. So he would say it in Yoruba language in such a way. So I grew up hearing that. And sometimes if you hear something long enough, it becomes your belief system. And so God's word, of course, has cured that for us to know that nobody is born into this world a sinner. There's no scripture for that. So in Romans 5:19, where he says, through one man's disobedience, many were made. Now, the word he uses there, made, usually there's a Greek word that when you say create, poio or stesis, two Greek words like that you see in any of our books. If you have this gospel, this is explained there in detail. But he doesn't use that word. Rather, it's another word that means to ordain a path or to give give a path for you to follow. A word used for ordination. That is, through one man, many were made to be sinners. In other words, by Adam's transgression, which Romans 5:14 says that he became a type, a figure of that which is to come. What he did now became an example. So, sin is not passed by procreation. Sin is an action by decision. And that's why in Romans, the same book of Romans, when Paul was talking about Jacob and Esau, he said, when they were in their mother's womb, they had neither done good or evil. And that's why in the children of Adam, you had, so that kind of doctrine will not pervade your mind, you had Cain and Abel. And the Bible says, Cain was of the wicked one, Abel was a righteous one. That means procreation does not determine your spiritual status. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. So it's a theology that people just pass down. They call it the original sin concept. And we've debunked it scripturally in many of our materials. You can see it's in Understandings Volume 1 and Volume 2. We're having Volume 3 very soon. It's in This Gospel. Can Salvation Be Lost? The Hyper Grace Gospel. Whatever book you have it, where we debunked that thinking of thinking you are born to this world as a sinner. No, you are not. So verse 19 now says, by one man's disobedience, many were like giving an example or giving a pattern to sin. Then he says, by Jesus' obedience, many were made righteous. Now what that means is, if you think that what it means is, as soon as you are born into this world, Adam's sin becomes yours. It therefore means too, that because Jesus has died, everybody born into this world is righteous. But that's not correct. Because in verse 16 and 17, he calls the righteousness a gift. A gift means it has to be what? Received. Every time you see the word doron or doria used in the scriptures, the corresponding action is to receive. Lambano. Receive the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17. This is a crash teaching. Hallelujah. We have a teaching like that, the doctrine of sin. Amen. Explains all of this for you. How did I get to this? It's not in my notes. What led me to this one? The devil. You're not the devil, you're sure. What was it? What was I talking about? Okay, I was talking about unbelief. That the root of sin is unbelief. So by using the word in verse 19, one man's disobedience, parakohio or parakohi, it means to refuse to listen. To refuse to listen. Or to not believe what you have heard. So in other words, The sin of Adam, which is not a sin of humanity, is an example of sin. So the root of sin is unbelief. When you refuse to listen to God's word. And that is the root of sin. And the second scenario where you find sin explained, we've seen that in this series already, which is 1 Corinthians 10, when Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant that all our fathers, verse 1, they passed through the sea, were baptized into the cloud, and the sea, baptized into Moses, and the cloud and the sea, verse 2, verse 3, they were all made to eat of the same spiritual meat, they were all made to drink of the same spiritual drink, and made to drink of the same spiritual rock, the rock which was, followed them, which was Christ. So, but it says, that's verse 3, verse 4, verse 5 says, with many of them, God was not well pleased that they were destroyed in the wilderness. He said that you should not follow the same example. Now, we said, what's the root of what they did? That's the book of Numbers. Now, I'm only summarizing something we have taught already. Is that clear? And we said, what's the root of what they did in the book of Numbers? Unbelief. Unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. The day of provocation, the day of rebellion. Hebrews 3, 12 and 19, unbelief. Hebrews 4 and 2 said the same gospel preached to us was preached unto them, but the word preached was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the root of sin is a refusal to believe God's word. That's the root of sin. A refusal to believe God's word. Hallelujah. And so the cure to it is faith in God's word. That's why what Jesus did in Mark 16:14 was to rebuke their unbelief and hardness of the heart. I'll tell you, the word hardness of the heart is one singular word, sclerocardian, a difficult, unyielding heart. Unyielding heart. Where you are not yielding to what you have heard. The same thing you see in Mark 10:5 and Matthew 19 verse 8. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Where you refuse to believe what God has said. Or the gospel. Now, we now said that being born again, you are a believer. Okay, but if you are a believer and you refuse to walk in the word, you will walk like an unbeliever. And Paul gives you that background. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, when I came to you, I came not in the excellence of your speech, verse 1, but of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined, verse 2, to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I was with you in much weakness, fear, and trembling. Then it says in verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand, verse 5, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak this wisdom, verse 6, among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, the princes of this world that come to nothing. It says we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God prepared before the world unto our glory. But none of these princes of this world knew it. Verse 8, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, what is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, take note of that. Neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He says, but God has revealed them unto us, verse 10, by His Spirit. What things whoever knows the things of a man, says the Spirit of man is him. Even the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. He said, but we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So he makes a distinction there, that there are two kinds of people. There are people of this world, and those that are of God. And the distinction is that we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What things we teach, not the wisdom which man teaches, the wisdom of teachers, sorry, with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. Then he tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He says, because they are foolishness unto him. He can know them because they are spiritually discerned. He said, but a spiritual man judges all things, verse 15, yet he himself is judge of no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, verse 16, that he might instruct him. He said, we have the mind of Christ. Then chapter 3, verse 1. Now, this is the dilemma. Having said that we are all spiritual, when you are born again, you are spiritual. Say, I'm spiritual. Why are you spiritual? Because you have received the Spirit of God. You are born of the Spirit of God. Spiritual just means of the Spirit, by the Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit of God. Then this is the dilemma. See, however, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's a figure of speech. And I said to you that there's no body, you are not born a babe in Christ. You are born a son. Okay? But the word as unto babes in Christ now refers to your conduct. So the word carnal, there's nothing called a carnal Christian. I used to use that phrase earlier on in ministry, a carnal Christian is a carnal Christian. Then I started to say, carnal Christian. Carnal means of the flesh. Now, if the man that is born again is of the flesh, why should I say of the flesh Christian? It's like saying doggish man. Or saying cat man. A cat human being. That should be Batman. No. Sorry, that's Batman. Is Bat and man. Superman. Never used to be a fan of both of them. I don't know which one I liked. I think none. Anyway, so you have man and bat. And that's a contradiction because that is an oxymoron. Using opposites. And that's exactly what Paul was writing. An oxymoron oftentimes is to say your behavior is unbecoming. When I look at the human being as an animal, and you look at the person, you're not expecting to see the person, it's because he has behaved like one. So when Paul says, are you not carnal? He's simply saying, you are behaving like you don't have the Holy Ghost. So there's no such a thing as a carnal Christian. You cannot be a carnal Christian. There's nothing like a carnal Christian. But a Christian can be carnal where? In his conduct. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made them free from the law of sin and death. For what could not do that was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son, likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, verse 4, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are in the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. So to be carnally minded is death, verse 6. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says, this carnal mind is enmity towards God, is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. He says, so therefore, those that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. Romans 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, what does he say? He's none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, verse 11, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your own mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But verse 13, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, who are they? They are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Verse 15, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, what that means is that you can't be in the flesh and be where? In the Spirit. So, by the virtue of being born again, you are in the Spirit, you are born of the Spirit, and you are spiritual. However, Paul says, I could not speak unto you, 1 Corinthians 3:1, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you, verse 2, with milk, and not with what? Meat. Either at all, you are not able to bear, neither are you now able to bear. For you are carnal, for amongst you, say the envy, strife, and divisions. You're not carnal, he says. And then you walk as mere men. When a Christian begins to reason like a non-believer. Imagine someone say, I can't go to a church where they cannot entertain me. That's carnality. It's the unsaved that say things like that. Because they think selfishly. I can't go to a church, you know, so what's in it for me? What's in it for me? No, you are born again. See, I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit of God. The life of the Spirit is my life. The life of the Spirit is my life. I am not of this world. I don't think like this world. Learning something? That is who you are. But every time you don't respond that way, because you're born again. You know, we said yesterday we were doing a study on the book of Mark, and I reminded you of what we said is this spiritual growth, the series we had 2 years ago. That in the parable of the sower, Mark's Gospel chapter 4, we have 4 scenarios, 4 soils. The first soil is the soil that is by the wayside, the second one on the hard ground, the third one among thorns, and the fourth one in the good ground. I would say the first two are those who are not born again. Because by the wayside means you don't even understand what you were told. You don't even know what you were said, what was said to you. 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be heed, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of his word hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine on them. So you don't even know what you heard. The second group, they thought they understood it, they heard the gospel, and they go, woo, yeah, and say, you know, you want to move from zero to hero. You want to step up to get up. You want to, help me out, fire up to be the fire. So I say, if you want all your dreams to come true, all your childhood dreams to come, come. Oh, you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you your dreams. Mark 29:56. Then the guy says, hey! Jesus said, it falls on the hard ground, it doesn't get to any soil, it doesn't get to his heart. He says, as soon as persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake, he's offended. Those ones are not born again. They can even speak in tongues. He said, you know, your access to your inheritance, to get a hold and rule in this world is speaking tongues. When we speak in tongues, well, you know what we are doing? What are we doing? We are speaking our riches, our wealth. So the guy begins saying, he's trying to speak his wealth. The second week, no wealth. Third week, he said, no, dipping the tongues to rogogo lagaga legegege. He says, ro 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 ro. No wealth. I told you yesterday, speaking in tongues doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? In fact, people act dramas and they mock tongues in the drama. I've seen the drama before, acted by one popular actress. Actually, I use the word actor for women and men, but actress, so that you know what I'm talking about, so you don't think it's all that way around. I say actor and I say she. You say, eh? And then you say actress, and she was a Muslim, but she acted a Christian. And she has seen people in churches, so she covered her hair and she was doing blah, blah, blah. I said, wow. But that's not speaking in tongues. Because it's your salvation that makes what you are saying tongues. You and an unsaved man can say the same thing. You say, your own is by the Holy Ghost. Your own is the speaking in tongues. So it's your salvation that validates tongues. It's not tongues that validate salvation. You there? This guy can't even be in church. And grow. I've seen people grow to be pastors and they were not born again. I've given calls for salvation before. And the head of the church came out to be saved. I said, no, sir. Salvation has happened. Maybe you won't. He said, no. I was never born again. There are people like that. So, look at the third soil. The third soil was that the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entered in. That means they weren't there. They came along the line. And we have believers like that along the line. They picked up things from the world. They picked up things from the world. Thoughts, ideas, lusts, belief systems. And so they will act like Paul says, as mere men. You find guys that when they were younger Christians, they were burning for the Lord. They would study the Word of God. They would, you know, be prayerful. They're out for evangelism. They're giving, you know, they're generous believers. They live above the world. Some even stay off television and the media, you know, so not to be influenced, you know, things like that. But now they think they are now woke. They are now woke guys. Oh, I now know, you know, that was when. No, that was when you were spiritual. Now, you are. Now I'm not talking to you. Now you are acting like a mere man. Like you don't have the Holy Ghost. So there are believers like that. Such that the only evidence of their salvation is in them. Inside. You have to search deep to finally see, Holy Ghost or Holy Ghost I can see? I think it's Holy Ghost. Some, even if you look so well, if you're not patient enough, you will see Holy Ghost. Until you look at the book of life. You know, there are people that the Bible tells us angels will rejoice. Luke 15 at salvation. There are some guys, the angels rejoice, say, that guy. I think we have rejoiced before. But the angels are arguing, say, it's not possible. That guy say, yes. It's been a while. Praise the Lord. Because he's walking like a mere man. See, I'm the light of this world. I'm born of God. See, I'm born of God. Amen. So, at the root of that behavior is an attitude towards the Word of God. Your attitude towards the Word is what makes you act like a mere man. Like a mere man. Whatever you spend time with the most influences your conduct. Whoever you spend time with equally influences your conduct. I've told you a billion times, let me exaggerate. All of us are impressionable. Man is a product of influence. All of us. We're impressionable. There's nothing you are doing today that you are not copying somebody. Even your refusal to copy somebody, you are copying somebody. There's nothing. The way, look at your hairstyles. How many of you are still carrying your hair the way you were born? One guy was arguing, he said, Jericho is a sin. How can believers be doing Jericho? That's women now. Well, men also do it these days. We thank the Lord. How can believers be doing Jericho? They asked him a question. Was that not how you were born? He said, that is where we were born. I said, in fact, so you should maintain it. Do you get it? So, you have believers who need to start growing in God's word. You need to start growing in God's word. Take the word of God seriously. Take it seriously. We are all impressionable, I was saying. We are all influenced. We are all influenced by something, someone, or persons. There's none of us. So you choose your influence. And we said to ourselves, in this series, we're in a negative world. A world that doubts the word of God in itself. Because the prince of this world is not God. John 12:30-32. The prince of this world, and the princes of this world, 1 Corinthians 2:6 and 8, is not God. The ruler of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, is not God. So we are all open, and the way Satan, the God of this world, operates, he operates through men, through men. Ephesians 2:1. Paul had prayed the prayer, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of him. Verse 17, that the eyes of understanding may enlighten, that you may know what is hope of his calling. Verse 18, and what is the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:19. And to know the exceeding greatness of his power towards what that believe, according to the working of his own mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when raising from the dead, sitting on the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, and every name that is named, not in this world, but as it is to come. Put all things under his feet, give him all things to show the body, fullness of him that filled all in all. Chapter 2:1. And you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Who in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh. Where? In the children of disobedience. Among whom, verse 3, we all had our conversation in time past in the flesh. So you know, therefore, that when we say Satan, it's not what you watch in those movies. Satan primarily walks through men. Through the things they write, through the things they say, through their conduct. Through belief systems, religions, even a religion that seeks to worship God that disagrees with the gospel is influenced by Satan. No matter how noble it is. So you have that influence around you. You have that influence in writings, in movies, in documentaries, news casting or casts, or both ways, in TV shows, where the word of God is either misinterpreted, not interpreted, or deliberately interpreted in error, or outrightly disobeyed. And you are in that world. You are in a world that is motivated by fear, anxiety, worry, hate, anger, bile, bitterness. Because if you read after someone that is always angry, you pick up anger. If you always give it to someone. I told a fellow one time, I said, why are you always watching this fellow who is always angry and bitter about people? I said, he must have been saying something that is in your heart. Because the fruit of the Spirit, because you're born again, resists this kind of life. Why you, what is it that you like about it? In other words, you are allowing the world to influence how you think. Glory to God. See, I allow the word of God to influence my mind. Proverbs 4:20. Solomon writes, he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart from your heart. For they are life to those who find them. And medicine, health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. In other words, you keep your heart by attending to the word. See, I put the word first place. The word attend to my words there, Proverbs 4:20, means give it priority. Let's assume that there was a time, I don't know what year they did the national census. I'm not sure what year, I think it was 1991. And it was a military government, so you didn't have time to be rioting. So I think they asked us to stay home for 2 weeks or so. Who remembers what I'm talking about? 1991 census. Was it 2 weeks? Or 1 week? Was that? And no one went out. Was it 2 weeks? No one went out. You had to stay at home or something throughout. Assuming, and they shut all institutions. Now, assuming the last day before the census was a Friday, and again, and there was no, then there were no ATMs. There were no ATMs, no online transfer, internet banking. And so the banking hall was going to close then, I think it used to be like 2 o'clock then. Then you were going to the bank 1:55, 1:58. Then you saw an old friend of yours, who you had not seen for 20 years. Bobo Shege! He calls your name. Ah, who calls me like that? Because you are now a Christian. Say Shege go go. Shege go go. Ah, that must be from the old creation. I say, Jema! I say, oh, my long time. How far now? Jema says, I'm going to the airport. I'm traveling back to another kingdom. I've been out for 1 week. May we see now? 1:59. You can see some unbendable security man looking at you. And you and your J-man. You say, J! Right? J! And you are going to where? J! Say, Shege! J! That is to give the word first place. There are options. There are things trying to take your attention. But just like J-man said, you see, fear, worry, anxiety, bitterness is an option. You say, you put the word first place. Say, I put the word first place. Say, I put the word first place. You guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. You guard your heart. Say, I guard my heart. Look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 28. I want us to read it together. Let's go. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, like a city that is broken down and without walls. You have no rule, no control over what comes to your heart. No control. What are the gates to my heart? What I see. What I hear. What I say. What I see. What I hear. Look at that 1 Corinthians 2. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered to the mind. So how does information get to the mind? Through the eyes and through the ears. So, how do you guard your heart? It's not by holding your chest like this. I guard my heart. I guard my heart. I guard my heart. You want to see national anthem? No. It is by guarding what you see. I saw something someone put out, a friend of mine on Facebook, and I kind of like what he said. He's an internet guru. So here he said something. He said, when you see a link and you don't know who sent it, and it says, open, $100,000 is yours. Then he says something. He says, don't click on it. And the way he said it was quite beautiful. He said, when you click on it, that's the end. All they want you to do is just click on it. You cannot know the extent of the damage. He said, so, if you don't know it, don't click on it. If you are not sure about it, don't click on it. If you don't know who sent it, don't click on it. I don't know anyone who sent a mail to you with a virus package. Say, I'm sending a virus to you to destroy your computer and all your information. Nobody's going to do that. And oftentimes you find people, don't open it, right? So curiosity can get you into trouble. And also there are porn sites who send you links. You want Asian girls? There's a girl nearby. Why would you open something like that? Is that Alicia is looking for you. Do you know her? Your face went quiet when I started. Don't I have emails too? Yeah, then you say, what is even there? What is even there, sir? And then you click on it. And you don't know the extent of the things you are going to start reading. Praise the Lord. But you can control it by not clicking at all. You don't know who sent it. You don't know why it was sent. So don't click it at all. So you can guard your heart by guarding what you hear and what you see. And what you read. You know, if someone only reads about divine healing, and then the doctor says, we just found a growth on your body. You know, his mind will not go to any documentary of somebody who died. Where his mind will go straight is, someone got healed of this. But if he has been doing research on different kinds of growth systems that destroy people, where a growth say, hey, Mr. Mongudu, Mr. I was at his barrier. Because you had read something. But if what you had read was John got healed of this. Okay? Jane got healed of this. That's what will come to your mind. So oftentimes what creates our attitude to God's word are the things that we have read and seen and heard. There was a brother who came to me years back and he said he has this uncontrollable sexual appetite. He said, uncontrollable. But I told him he's not correct because I said, I don't know, I just can't help it. I can't help it. I said, what if you're about to have this I can't help it experience? The lady says, before you can't help it, I have this virus. If I infect you, you will die tomorrow. Say, you help yourself. He said, yes. So you see, you can help it. He doesn't have to put control on what you do. But when he came, he actually brought a magazine, Ints. I don't think they print again. Ints magazine. How many know about Ints? They write about romance and all that. I said, that's the demon that's been following you. This is what you read every day. So I said, you know the cure? He said, what? Can you stay off TV? He said, ha. Ha. Sir? I said, stay off TV. How long, sir? 1 year. Hey! Hey! Jesus, oh, be the first. 1 year, sir. Ah! I said, you're not serious. Do you know how many years the information in your mind got there? Consciously, unconsciously, subconsciously, overconsciously. Some of us need to get rid of the information that produces fear around us. So you have to watch what you see. You have to watch what you hear. Let me tell you something. When I say what you hear, I'm not just talking about what you hear through your ears, even though that's a gate. What you hear actually refers to the things that you now, you know, when I tell you something, for example, if I say, there's there's $10 million near the speakers. You know, you paused. You heard that thing twice. All right, come on. Yeah, you did. You heard that thing twice. Which means there's a hearing of the things I said. Then there's a hearing you give to me where you say, $1 million. Loudspeaker. You see it? That is the hearing I'm talking about. You can't control my saying it to you, but you can control how you heard it. Rather than say, this is a nice one. Say, $1 million near the speaker. You say, oh, thank you, Lord. Somewhere in your mind, you say, $1 million is, if you're a Nigerian, you go straight to calculation. 360 million. Ha ha. Hey! Supernatural order. Order has come to my life. That means you are thinking deeply about it. But what I'm saying is, you think about it. But you know, if I say, $1 million is there, you just go, maybe it's monopoly money. What have you done? You have not heard it. You get it? Do you understand? You have not heard it. You can't control what I say, but you can control what you hear. In Mark's Gospel 5, Jesus was going to the house of Jairus. They had said to him that Jairus had come. They had said, my daughter is near to death. She's about to die. So Jesus, let's go. As they were passing through the place, he's like, Oyinbo. Everybody say, that's Jesus. Everybody's, you know, the throng in him. And he's trying to get through them. They're choking, trying to get through them. Then there was a woman who touched his clothes and he said, past God left me. And the woman said, so who did it? And the child said, hey, what kind of pastor is this? How can you be asking this guy a question in Oyinbo? Can't you see crowds? We're trying to get you, Jesus. You're talking about who touched me. He said, I know someone touched me. The woman came and said, this is what happened. I know that story will be a bit long. I said,
What happened to you, man? Tell us.
I'm coming, sir.
That has been singing your native language. What happened?
12 years.
12 years. Everybody, Jairus is just saying, hey, what have I seen? So she sees everything. As they were done with her testimony, they just said, don't bother the master, the girl is dead.
Verse 36 says, immediately Jesus heard it. The Greek says, he refused to listen. Then he turned to Jairus in 36, don't be afraid, only believe. So the way to refuse to hear it is by speaking.
You don't take away thoughts by thinking. You take away thoughts by speaking. You know, I said it now, that if I told the guy, there's $1 million, you just say, Meloponi money. What has he done? He has refused to hear it. Glory to God. Glory to God. I can never be manipulated. I can never be intimidated. I live above fear. You say that immediately. He refused to hear it. So, you can't control what people say around you. Except, you are a military ruler, and they dare not speak anyhow around you. But you can control what you heard. Or what you hear. Glory to God. You can't control it. I've been in places where they gave a prophecy, a very negative one. And I told them, I said, you know, as the guy was prophesying, I said, rubbish. That was what I said immediately. I didn't say, by saying that, it is settling down in your heart. I said, rubbish. In 1994, I had a meeting, it was a vigil. So I finished preaching, and then when I was preaching, I was making, was it 95 or so? I was saying, you know, I traveled here, I used to travel a lot, and very recklessly too, to preach. So the guy said, after I finished preaching, he preached after me, then he said, the Lord is saying to you, tongue man, he turned to me like this, that in the next 3 months, don't travel. Because I see, he was seeing accidents and all of that. I looked at him. It was too late to travel. The next morning, as he was saying, I said, nonsense. I'm traveling tomorrow. The next morning, I was in Ibadan. I wasn't planning to leave Ibadan. I just took a bus from Ibadan. Challenge. I got to Oshodi. Then I went back. Don't let me say what I want to say. So don't hear it. Amen. You do hear it? Don't hear it. The way to refuse to hear it is to speak the word of God immediately. And speaking the word of God is not just quoting scripture. The Bible says, no, by saying rubbish, that's the word of God. Do you get it? By just saying nonsense. Nonsense. Rubbish are rubbish. That's the word. Because we said Isaiah 54:17, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you what? You will judge it. Wrong! That's judgment. Someone wants you to get, Hanky says, see you overripe yellow papa. Not you. So, I look, I cannot even see anything. You know, if you live in Ibadan very well, there are some anointed, caustic, Ibadan people. I salute. I've heard some things. I say, huh? Someone looked at someone up and down and said, ah. They've used you as a broom. You cannot sweep well. I said, how can you say that? You have Now, I remember when I was in the boarding house, we used to have something called devil's land. Devil's land, because oftentimes, if you fight in the boarding house, the seniors will now call you. Say, who is that? Say, they're fighting. They will now call you to their room and ask you to now beat yourself. So, the junior boys now created devil's land. So, when you argue, you say, don't argue, don't argue. I'll tell you, shh, don't argue, don't, let's go. So, I take you to devil's land. And say, hey, what were you saying? See your head like tortoise. And I'll talk to the guy and say, eh? I used to be a proponent of Israel. Say, I can't take it, I can't take it. The guy said, what did you say again? He said, So, there are things that can want to provoke you. The guy said, look at you. Like spent, maybe burnt yam. You just say, burnt yam? Don't say burnt yam. Say new creation in Christ. Say, I can't get angry. You say it immediately. If you let that burnt yam thing settle, you will burn. What did you say again? But say it again. If they burn you, well, say it again. No, just you there. Say it again. I will show you. I'm the apple of God's eye. See, I'm governed by the word. I refuse negative thoughts in this world. Glory to God. He just put up his smile. I say, God bless you. God bless you. So, your mind is going, if I woos this guy. The guy wants to this pastor. Bev, I look at the anointing. But sir, if you say it again, if I woos you, you can't stand again. I say, Rev. Rev didn't say anything again. Because bro has crossed over. The bro has crossed over. Don't try bro. It's now without the spirit. So there's a believer like that, when they move, there was someone like that in our ministry then. They stole something that belonged to the ministry. She was not threatening people. Hear me! And her hair was up. Her clothes were like Kephas, almost torn. If you took his tape recorder out, if you are the one that took the recorder, it was a hostel. She said, I give you! No. She said before 6 o'clock. If you want to see tomorrow, recorder! She must have been watching something. Because Jesus didn't talk like that. I warn you. Who are you again? Pilate. Say it again. The Lord Jesus says, say it again. I will show you I'm the Son of God. I will show you I was, I is, I wish to come. I'm what the world says I am. So don't take the bait. Don't go to devil's land. Hallelujah. See, I stay in the spirit. I stay in the spirit. I think the gospel. I act the gospel. I'm full of the gospel. I'm full of the gospel. Glory to God. So don't say, don't you see what he called me? No, what has God called you? What people say to you should not be a reason why you act badly. It's what God says about you that should influence how you act. Did you hear me? As soon as he says what he wants to say, or she says what she wants to say, say what God says. Say what God says. I'm not giving to anger. I'm just like my father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I can't be provoked. Ephesians 4:26 says, do not be provoked and sin. Do not be provoked and sin. I'm not provoked. I walk in love. A man beats his wife. So why did you beat your wife? I said, the way she spoke to me. So I couldn't help it. I said, it's not true. People have spoken to you like that. And you said, I'm very sorry. Yeah. If you enter one of these damn fools, the Nigerian bosses, and those guys that don't know where they are coming from, where they are going to, he says, I'm going to give yourself a break. He's going, I'm looking like somebody that, what's wrong with you? See your eye like Uji Obo. I'm a big man on your ass. You don't say, you say, relax now. Don't say, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? And you see the guy is so tall. You don't say, who are you talking to? He said, who is this? What do they do? Oma, I will raise you. You don't say, spoiled boy. You say it from afar. Spoiled boy. You walk away, you say, spoiled boy. When you will not go to school, you will be doing conductor. Nonsense. And oftentimes, you will now vent the anger of somebody else. Don't say, good morning. So, actually, that means you can walk away. Hallelujah. So, if your wife says something, I told the guy, I said, if your wife or husband are together and you have a habit of saying wrong things to your another, I said, walk in the spirit. That's practical. Take a stroll. Just be walking in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Give you a prayer. You are walking in the spirit. You are walking away. If you give yourself 1 hour, by the time you come back, some people, after 1 hour, they are still fervent in spirit. Don't pick your call when you are provoked. Pick the word. Don't say, who said it? Check who said it. Give me my phone. Don't say, just be swift to speak. I mean, be slow to speak. And slow to wrath. Say, thank you, Father. I give you praise. There's something someone did, and he is a brother to someone I respect. So he came to report the person to me, which is wrong anyway. So he said, and he used some very terrible words. So I think the thing happened in this hall. I was about to pick the phone to say, oh boy. So I took a while. I read the thing twice and my head was shaking. So I stopped reading it. So I walked away. I didn't call him. About 2-3 hours after, I thought about the implication of if I had called him. I said, the flesh will have been one flesh. So I didn't call him. I called the brother. I said, he said so and so. I said, okay. So I called him. The first thing I told him, I said, if I called you 3 hours ago, you'll have caught the phone. I thank God I didn't call you 3 hours ago. I said, because what you wrote was provocative. But I had to first of all overcome what you wrote so that I can properly act. Then I resolved it. So sometimes, you just need to think the word at that moment. Don't think about what you read. Don't read it again. Don't read it again. If reading something is going to provoke you to walk in the flesh, don't read it again. Stop all this keeping emails to remember the bad things. What are you using it for? Keeping text messages. Say, I've kept that text message for a memorial for all generations. Is it God's word that you are keeping? You want to keep something that will stir up the flesh. Say, I stay in the word. I stay positive in God's word. I prevent negative thoughts from having control over my mind. 1 Corinthians 9, let's close from there. Paul says, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself be a castaway. The word body there is not, pay attention here, is not used for physical body alone. Body is used for yourself. When you say body of Christ, for example, it means everything that constitutes Christ. So by saying I keep my body under, does it mean you go and put your body under it here? No. I keep myself, my emotions, my appetites. I put it under. Does that include my words? Huh? My thoughts? I put it under. See, I'm in control. I refuse to lose control to what people say, to what I read. I stay in control by God's word. I keep control over my thoughts, over my words. Do you know because people are saying something in your office doesn't mean you have to say it? Brother Copeland once said a story of how he was speaking to Charles Capps. Charles Capps is late now. He's going to be with the Lord. He said, say after me, I am sick and tired of getting sick. Charles Capps said, no, I am tired of getting sick. He said, say I'm sick. Say, I don't have to add the word sick. I just don't want to repeat it. That's cool. You can refuse to say it. But everybody is saying it. You are not everybody, you are born again. See the rate of kidnapping all over the place. Don't mock people. Don't say my case is different. Don't say things like that. That's mocking those who have been kidnapped. Just say the power of God is all around. I give God praise. Myself and other believers, we are kept by the power of God. You don't have to say, they are kidnapping people. They are having accidents. They are having this one. So the angels of God are all around me. The angels of God are all around. The power of God is all around. Amen. You can put a guard over what you see. Over what you think. There's a song by Amy Grant. I listen to the song virtually every week. 2, 3, 4 times. Angels watching over me. Every step I take. Amy Grant. I learned that song first in 1989. The angels all over me. I thank God for His power, for His grace, for His life, walking through me. Amen. I'm what He says I am. I have what He says I am. I can do what He says I can do. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Stand to your feet. Bless the Lord. Thank you.